Don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Powered by Toyota of Kirkland. Visit toyotaofkirkland.com. By Windermere at windermere.com. By Team Bruce at guildmortgage.com. By Car Toys, a better way to go. By Real Steel, find yours. Visit your local steel dealer today. And by Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Head to the box or stream on demand.
This is what I had my little peewee guys, Pop Warner, when I start coaching, they can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, okay.
Can't start it that way.
No, you can't, okay?
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
Good morning. It's Monday morning. We have been Monday morning quarterbacking all day long, and now here in our 9 o'clock hour, we invite Coach Mike Holmgren into the conversation as we discuss a 37-34 loss by the Seahawks last night to the Arizona Cardinals. Just another one of your ho-hum affairs last night. Back and forth, crazy fourth quarter, crazier overtime. And so we discuss the team's first loss of the season. They sit here at 5-1 this morning. Coach, at this point, I mean, I would think that a head coach would just pull this team aside and said, you got to stop this. Stop putting your fans through it. Stop putting me through it. Stop putting the coaches through it. Either win a game convincingly or lose one convincingly, because we're all going to have heart attacks.
that would be the easy way out. I think I can't imagine. You know, I was thinking how I'd feel after a tough one like this, and these are hard, because you know, it was a game that they had a good chance to win, just like they won the earlier games this season, and it didn't work out that way. So, but they played this type of game before. They won, except they won the games. And so there are certain things you can't ignore. One, the defense is really struggling. The offense is always going to score a lot of points. Your kicking game is really solid. But you're in a tough division that teams can score points. And so you can't turn the ball over like they did yesterday or last evening. And so, yeah, there's work to do. But it's going to be like this most of the season.
Mike, it was really surprising to see Seattle. We're so accustomed to seeing them play clutch football at the end of football games, and yet there they were once they went ahead 34-24 on that reviewed incredible catch by Lockett in the back of the end zone. That's a 10-point lead with 6:44 remaining. And from that point, you know, it's just kind of a pratfall in all three phases, if you count the Benson Maioa on the field goal gaffe. Just kind of what were the factors within that were most significant to you as you watched Seattle uncustomarily lose that lead?
Well, that was a thing, Hugh, and you mentioned one, Maioa, that was just a horrible penalty. I mean, but that was just one thing. And then they kind of fell apart. There was a couple of big penalties. They could have won the game if it hadn't been for the holding penalty and on more. But, it seemed like they had a defensive plan for Murray and were willing to. It's almost like we're willing to give up yards and points knowing that the offense is going to come back and score points, which kind of happened. But they did. That's a 10-point lead in the last 6 minutes of the game, 6:44. That's not a good thing. That's the one that keeps you awake at night, and it's for a coach. You know, I had a couple of those myself, and it's just, you go, what could I have, as the head coach, you go, what could I have done differently, either directing my defensive guys or my offensive guys? What could I have done? You start with yourself, and then go from there. But it was very uncharacteristic. But I think we're going to see more games like this. I really do, in the division.
Yeah, there were, a dozen, maybe more, moments in this game where if it goes the other way, we win. You know, simply put, I mean, as a coach, do you get done with a game like that and then go back and say, all right, chart all of those moments where that we lost the game there, that moment we lost the game there. Do you pour over it like that and toss and turn at night with your pillow because there were so many opportunities where this game could have been yours?
Yeah, that's exactly what I used to do. I mean, and that's why I didn't sleep very well after a tough loss on Sunday. That's real. I couldn't sleep. And because I went over all those things, and then sometimes, you know, a great play by the other team, a great catch, a great throw, okay. But things that you could control, an offside, a procedure penalty right when you don't need it, a horrible penalty on a special teams play, a poorly thrown ball, a ball that you drop. Those types of things you go through and you say, listen, is it this? There were four or five different times where we could have put this thing away or we could have won the football game. Mm-hmm. We clearly. But, you know, it didn't work out because you made mistakes. Every game is going to have mistakes in it. But this one last night against a really good offensive football team, I think, that quarterback is really fun to watch, really. It cost them finally.
Mike, I would want to ask you about the protection issues that Seattle had in overtime and kind of take you back to your offensive coordinator days and where you're in charge of making sure that if they're showing that heavy blitz, you've got to have an answer for how to block it if they do come. And if they drop out, you have to have an answer, maybe talk in some detail, because they were showing that everybody up, that cover zero look, and sometimes they'd come and sometimes they'd drop out, and it seems like they were just one step ahead of Seattle. I thought that the Cardinals outcoached Seattle's offensive staff there in that overtime. What was your thought?
Well, they certainly were very effective in that, and that's a tough one, though, Hugh, and you know it, being a quarterback yourself. If they show that, where they cover everybody up, and you're not sure who's coming, then you have to prepare. You have to say, okay, I got to make sure I take care of business that they're coming first. Then all of a sudden they fake it and they drop out. Then your people who have checked or have blocking assignments, they have to check and get into position so you can be content with a six-yard gain, a drop-off, because they fooled you, okay? But you cannot go in saying, okay, and guessing at that particular point. I think you have to go in with your quarterback and say, okay, make sure you're protected. Make sure you're protected first and be ready to throw it quickly somewhere. And then all of a sudden they come, boom, you throw it quickly. They don't come, now you drop back and you get your check downs or the other routes. But not only the quarterback, but the receivers have to adjust as well.
Mike, the one play that might have bothered me the most as a Seahawks fan was a second and 10 there on the second possession. Seahawks are right in midfield, just on the other side in Arizona territory. And the Cardinals show that cover zero all out blitz there. And you had a rookie running back. He scans to the outside. And what I was telling Chuck and Slick is that the cardinal rule in protection is if they are bringing one more than you have, you got to block the inside guy and turn the outside guy loose. And
exactly.
That's the opposite of what Seattle did. Linebacker comes right through the A-gap. Running back is scanning all the way out to the edge to pick up a guy, and Russ takes a big hit. And, that just seemed to be the underscore of just how poorly Seattle was handling that at the time.
Yeah, I felt the same way myself. You have to do that, but it's also coordinated, as you know, Hugh, with your offensive line and how you're going to slide or how you're going to pick up the rest of it. So all that has to be coordinated with the quarterback making the call, your center making the call, whatever alerts they have. I refer back to my last season when we didn't win any games, but we almost beat New England in Seattle. And that's what they did to Seneca Wallace, you know, as the quarterback. And for the whole game, he did a nice job of getting – they showed that. And then they'd back off and come, and he did a great job of it. And then in the fourth quarter, right when we needed something, you know, we guessed wrong, and that was the game, in a very close game. So you have to start, even if it gets boring, you got to start with protecting and making sure you're solid inside, because then the outside guy gets there a little later, and you have a chance to throw someplace quick.
Coach Holmgren is with us, just getting started this hour. So much more to discuss. We got to talk about some of these superlatives as well for the Seahawks. Tyler Lockett's big game, and I want to get Coach's thoughts on a 235-pound man running 23 miles per hour. So we're going to discuss those two things with Coach coming up, as well as everything else from last night's 37-34 loss to the Arizona Cardinals right here on Sports Radio 950.
Our toys today. Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's original diehard sports station, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Chuck Powell, Hugh Millen, Matt Michaelis, and Coach Mike Holmgren with you here on this Monday morning, coming off the first Seahawks loss of the season, a 37-34 loss to the Arizona Cardinals, which at any given moment over the course of the last hour and a half of the game, it could have swung the other way. It was just one of those games, one of those that you sit the next day and you think about, how did we lose that game? And yet here we are to break it down for you here on a Monday morning. But Coach, before we start getting back into X's and O's, I shared with you a little bit earlier in the show, I like nature shows. I like National Geographic and Planet Earth. And that DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker down the sideline on that interception gave me that same feeling I get in my stomach when the Tigers chasing the gazelle through the Serengeti, where it's kind of exhilarating, but I also kind of want to close my eyes. You know what I mean?
Oh, gee, I know. That's remarkable. And the thing that struck me, aside from just the physical act of being able to do that, was just the want to. I mean, he was way behind, and you'll see people chase, but Baker can run. But clearly, he was not going to let him score. And as soon as he ran by Russell, typically in those situations, no one's going to catch the defensive back. We've seen it happen many, many, many times. But it was remarkable. And you just go, wow. And then the fact that they couldn't score after that. And that was going to be, if the Seahawks won, every once in a while you do one of those games, Chuck, and I get to pick the defensive player of the game or the play of the game or whatever. That was going to be my play of the game, because that was really an incredible effort, and good for him.
And the Antonio Brown discussion is all for naught now. He looks like he's going to sign with Tampa Bay, but is that evidence, Mike, for why maybe you would not want to bring in an Antonio Brown, that you've got this young guy in Metcalf that everybody's raving about, obviously the physical talents, but also his unique competitiveness and how he's connecting with Russell Wilson and the selflessness. Could you make the connection that could be potentially compromised in the midst of a guy like Antonio Brown?
I think I said that last week, Hugh, and I still feel that way. While also saying that Antonio Brown is, he's a great talent, but that, I think they really have, offensively, they've got some really good things going now. And there's a chance that it could disrupt that. And why take the chance? I mean, they're going on all cylinders, and you got young guys coming on, and their passing game's going, my goodness, they threw for so many yards, they're doing it every week. Yeah, I think that was absolutely part of it. And so Tampa's going for the gold, and they did it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, good luck to you. Yeah, you're better you than us.
I want Chuck, one thing. We talked about DK's play, but honestly, I also would say, and I'd like to hear Hughes and your comments on this. Lockett's first catch of the game. I mean, it was one hand. I mean, it was just unbelievable. He made a great one-handed catch, and coverage was pretty tight. Peterson's a good back. So there was a lot of instances in the game where stuff happened and you go, wow, that's pretty good.
Well, it's like he had a baseball mitt, right? And he's going against Patrick Peterson there, who could be a Hall of Famer. I think he's in the discussion, certainly as a possibility. I can't imagine a higher degree of difficulty for a catch.
No, it was really something. And what struck me is that you could kind of see Arizona's game plan, I guess if you want to call it a defensive game plan. They were going to play some zone, and while they were kind of working on Russell and stuff like that, and then mix it up, but really emphasizing coverage on Metcalf. So what do the Seahawks do in their planning? You know, they go to Lockett right away. 15 catches in a game, that's stunning. That's something special.
But, Mike, before we get, and we're with Mike Holmgren, before we get too far off, we mentioned the Buda Baker play and really the DK Metcalf running him down play. But just from a scheme standpoint, your thought, Seattle tried to get the pick there with the bunch formation on the right side and the swing route, the flat route to the halfback, but they didn't get the pick on Baker. It was first and goal at the 3 after a 18-yard completion to get down there. Just kind of what's your thought as a coach when if you had been coaching Russell Wilson, or if you're coaching him today and you're his quarterback coach and you get in the private room, what's your coaching point to him on that play?
Well, when you're in that part of the red zone and inside the 5, the first thing you tell your quarterback is if whatever I call, if it's even close in a passing game, be careful because we can get it. You got first, particularly it's first down. If you call that on first down, I would say in the phone to him, you got to really like this. I think it's going to be there, but if it's not, live for another day. Wait for second down. That's the first thing I'd say. But, you know, Hugh, he's made throws. They've made close plays for touchdowns. I'm not sure I wouldn't have run on first down because Russell, you know, because they were doing some good stuff that way too. But that's the turnover you can't have.
Coach Holmgren is with us this segment every Monday, brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland, Windermere, Team Bruce with Guild Mortgage, Car Toys, Real Steel, and Redbox. As we talk about last night's 37-34 loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And, it was just crazy down the stretch, as we've pointed out. One thing that you and I have not discussed, the officiating last night. There were a lot of strange calls. One of your favorite topics here, Coach, between the overturning the Lockett touchdown and then kind of forcing the Seahawks into having to use a challenge flag at that point. There was also the call on Bobby Wagner that seemed a little suspect at best. There were a few big calls that, I mean, again, there are probably 25 plays that if they go the other way, we can go back and forth on the outcome here. Did anything in particular stand out to you about the officiating, or in your estimation, did everything even out in the wash?
Well, I think you have to give me my props for being more mature than I have been in years past with you guys. I try not to, and my friend Hugh Millen taught me this. I try. There's nothing I can do about the officials, even though for years on the competition committee and all the things I tried to do. I fought it. I tried to do stuff. Hugh, I really did. But, so I'm watching the game, and I might disagree with a call. But I'm trying to think, okay, who would I like to see win? I think I'm trying to be honest and fair about it. But there were times in the game, yeah, where depending on who you're rooting for, you know, the calls would are a little suspect or a little chintzy or whatever you want to call it. The calls that stuck out for me, though, were the ones that I hurt them, were the ones that I think were called correctly. You know, that thing on when you're trying, when the team's lining up for a 52-yard field goal, if they make it, it's 52 yards, but you don't want to do anything to give them more life and nothing. That's a bad one. And then the holding thing, I don't, David Brown on the touchdown with DK, he was trying to, you know, I think that was a legitimate call. The fans might be upset with that, but I think that was real. But there's going to be times in every game, Chuck, although I'm better, I am getting better, that the officials drive me absolutely cuckoo.
Well, Wagner, on that play, you know, Mike, I've talked to officials, been, I actually got invited into some officiating meetings. You were on the competition committee, so you're way more experienced about all this than me. But I think two things that bothered me about that play, about that penalty, I should say. First of all, it's third down. So yeah. When you're making a call and you know, at third down, it's like have some a little bit of discretion about it. And then the other part, I'll even go as far as it's a tight end, you know, and those guys are going to get knocked around. You say, well, what difference does that make? Well, ask a basketball referee. If you got hit a guy on the hip on a 4-foot shot versus a hip on at the 3-point line, it's called differently. And I think it should be called differently. And I think, you know, a tight end goes over the middle. He takes a little whack in the back. No big deal. You know, you force him on the punt. But you're bailing out the Cardinals there. I thought that was just a bad piece of officiating for those factors among the obvious.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree on that one. I mean, it was as an offense, looking at it from an offensive point of view, of course, you know, I would want that called on my guy if my tight end was, if I thought. But then you just have to know, you have to know that those things are going to happen. So you got to be prepared for that. Your receivers have to be prepared for that. And then when you look at it, that it you know, how important a call is in any particular game, you just go, oh, man, it's hard sometimes. And that's what happened with that call, I think.
It feels like a little bit of a broken record, but it is such an essential part of this season, such an essential storyline to the season for the Seahawks. I mean, they're giving up, they're winning games. They won 5 out of 6. But they're giving up a lot defensively, and they aren't putting pressure on the quarterback, Coach. I mean, that's 50 dropbacks yesterday, one pressure. 5 quarters of play, no sacks, and one pressure on Kyler Murray. I mean, you're coaching this team. How beside yourself are you over the lack of pass rush?
Well, I'm beside myself. I mean, it's hard. I think when Jamal Adams got hurt, you know, he was part of their larger scheme in blitzing. And then when he got hurt, they decided not to do that so much. The other part in the game last night, I think, one thing, I think they have to blitz and they have to be pretty creative to get home. They can't get home with the pass rush of their front guys. Secondly, I think last night's strategy, you know, you study the film way more than I do, but the strategy last night was, let's keep Kyler Murray under control, a little more zone. Let's just make sure he doesn't beat us with runs and things like that. And so they left it up to the guys up front. Instead of just blowing people out, then he has all that room to run, and he can really run. I think that also added to their inability to get home last night.
Yeah, they did. They played a lot of cover two, and, you know, that's going to be one of those things. As you mentioned aptly, you bring in Jamal Adams because you want to play a single safety defense and put Jamal Adams down in the box and let him blitz and create mayhem down there. And yet, if you're not getting good corner play, then they're compelled to drop safeties off and play the cover two. But to your point, there was a play where Murray had 18 yards up the left sideline. And to Murray's left, you had Benson Maioa. He's the end. He has contained. He starts up. It didn't appear to me to be a stunt, Mike, but Maioa elected to go, you know, inside into the B gap and leave that left side contained unattended. And then Murray burned him. He's up the left sideline. You can do it right most of the time. But if you have a lapse, he's going to kill you. That was a key fourth down or a fourth quarter play.
Oh no! And then you have to go back to you practice hard, you coach them hard. If you got young guys playing, it happens a little bit more. but they get in a game, maybe they're tired, maybe they think they got a chance to make a play, so they, the things you've been beating on them for, during the week to do to maintain, contain, play upside, is outside shoulder, whatever you're telling them as far as your game plan, and then it doesn't happen on one play, and the good players like this young guy and Russell Wilson, the other way too, Russell Wilson, if you're not real disciplined in your game plan, you know, then they'll make those plays. And so, yeah, it's going to happen, particularly with young guys, but you just, that's what they're scratching their head about today. They're in there, or tomorrow, whenever they do it. They're in there saying, no, how are we going to get pressure on quarterbacks? How are we going to do this? That's something they have to answer.
There were times where it looked easy. And football's, as you know, is not easy, but it looked easy for the offenses last night. Seahawks particularly early. I mean, I saw a buddy of mine who does sports radio down in Arizona, and he tweeted out after that first drive, uh-oh, you know, because yeah. it looked that easy. And then for the Cardinals to have it so easy, Hugh and I broke down that possession right before the end of regulation where they tied it. I mean, they're at their own 20, 52 seconds left on the clock. They got to go. They got to get into field goal range somehow. And it was, you know, 15-yard spike, kick the field goal, tie the game. It's not supposed to happen that easily, right?
No, it's not. If you go, why did it happen? How did it happen? You know, one, I think talent wise and injury wise, they're a little bit. It's hard in the secondary right now. It's just, in my opinion, it's hard. And then the other side of that coin, they were so concerned about Murray that they ran some different coverages. And then I don't think they liked the idea of Hopkins going man for man against anybody. And so you couple those two things together. And that's what you get. Now, I will also say this. Give Arizona their – that was a – working the clock. And, you know, you practice this all the time, you know, spiking the ball and do that. And we've all seen it, wasted time. Teams do that, and they waste time, then they spike it or they don't get lined up properly. Arizona, in that 52 seconds, did it perfectly, and give credit to their offensive team and how they prepare and those kind of things, because everything had to go exactly right, and they did it.
And yet, I agree with that. And then they turn around in overtime, Mike, and their first possession, what did you think of the decisions that they made with respects to lining up that field goal? They took that 5-yard loss. They got the quarterback whacked. They almost had to delay a game. They had to have a call timeout, which had the effect of icing their own kicker, what have you. They did it so well in regulation and overtime. It didn't go so well, or at least that it appeared. What was your thought?
No, that's exactly my thought. When you could see, because they showed the sideline, and their coach, the name escapes me, Arizona's coach, head coach, you know, he tried to look at, he someone had to remind him, the clock, and he ran and he raced over and called timeout. That situation, first of all, they kicked it, I think they kicked it on second down.
Yep.
Am I correct about that?
Yep.
They kicked it on second down, so you could have gotten a little closer. I didn't know exactly why they did that. But they were running out of time. They called a timeout. And then he had made it. And it just seemed like in that situation, your sideline or your procedure to do that very thing, you practice that a lot. And there shouldn't – the clock thing, either they – we're having a discussion on should we run another play, should we kick it right now. I can imagine those types of things taking place. That's why I didn't want anybody talking to me. I don't confuse me. It's hard enough doing this. You know, I'm going to make – so I go down there and I make the call. Bang, bang, and you do it. You know, so that's what I think could have happened. Now, no one will know. No one will ever admit to that. But, you know, when he missed the field goal – that could have been the game.
How many field goals did you kick on second down, honestly?
Never. I never did that.
Never is right.
I'll admit I was a little stubborn and a little old-fashioned that way.
I think whatever newfound way they've come up with for, hey, now's the time to kick. Second down. Yeah, that's a mistake.
You know what That'll you do? You know what it is, Chuck? I think you have some analytics person telling you you should do it now. Where the voice comes from, I don't know, but don't talk to me.
All right. Well, we've got one more segment with Coach here on a Monday morning, so we each get to ask. Actually, Bucky's not here. I'll give Hugh two questions for Coach to close us out on the other side. Sports Radio 950.